I've always wanted to try it, but now that it's out there, he's not going to fall for it, so I had to get it off my chest so I wouldn't have to wrestle with that anymore. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be talking, as I mentioned, about probably modern day one of the biggest buzzwords out there, and that's anxiety. I don't want to take anything away from this. I just want to speak truth into it, because as a younger generation, it's used often as an excuse. And I want to start by saying, everything, true peace, true joy, all this stuff, if you just take the fruits of the Spirit, and I know I talk about the fruits of the Spirit a lot, but I like them. If you take the fruits of the Spirit, and you want to talk about real joy, real peace, real patience, where does that come from? God. So in a generation that a lot of us are far removed from God, it's no wonder there's a bunch of anxiety out there. Because separation from that, you're attaching yourself to these things that aren't eternal, that aren't lasting, and what comes with that? A lot of turbulence. And so we're going to read through this. We're in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. For those of you who are visiting, we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount. And it's been a long process so far. We're a little over halfway through it. And so we'll have a lot more lessons on it. And this is where I got left off with. It's kind of funny, my wife leaned over and she was talking to me before I got up here, and she said, "You okay?" I'm like, "I'm nervous." It's funny because we're talking about anxiety. Anxieties is pressures, is worry. We're going to talk about worry, and we're going to talk about all this stuff, but I want to read this first to preface what we're about to dive into, because I think throughout, you hear wide-ranging swings of some different takes and how this should call us to live and to act. And Kevin talked a little bit last week about where your treasure's at, and talked a little bit about money and the worry about money, and that's going to correlate nicely into this. But we're going to start in chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day its own trouble." I imagine there's few of you that read that often. It's a feel-good verse, right? But how many of us have looked at that verse and go, "Oh, but Lord, you do not know what I'm going through right now." Oh, but, oh, but, oh, but. We have these buts that we like to put in, and now I talk about loopholes, and I'm not necessarily going to say this is a loophole, but sometimes we read that and we say, "Hey, that's great, but this is what I'm dealing with." So why would that not cause me any anxiety, Lord? I'm going through the trenches. Why should I not be anxious? And we talked about it last week. Where are you storing up your treasure? Because peace comes from God. When you're tethered to God, you're going to have peace because you're acting as a reflection of Him. And you know that there's one thing that's consistent and true, and that's His promise to us. If you're tethered onto anything other than God and what God says will be, then you're tethered to earthly things which change how often? All the time. Who's gone through financial struggles? Who's gone through, list it out. Who's gone through a loss that seemed like more than they could bear at the time? Who's gone through all these things that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis? And if you aren't struggling, typically you know somebody who is. It's like it never ceases to push down, to waller all over somebody that you love, somebody that you care about. You start hearing things, the struggles they're going through, and you say, Lord, just relieve them of what's going on. And we forget oftentimes that the promise is the upper story. The promise isn't comfort down on earth. The promise isn't riches. The promise isn't all these things that human tendency is to want. The promise is eternity with Him. The promise is relationship with God. We see that from the very beginning. And I think we can come away with this in a couple areas, because we see people read this and often go, well, hey, if God's going to clothe the lilies, if God's going to make sure that the birds are well fed, then is this a calling for me just to stop doing anything and just, hey, Jesus, take the wheel it? No. We can get in that mindset, and I've watched people in that mindset and to struggle with it, and I've struggled with it myself. But that's not where He's pointing us to. I'm going to read one passage of Proverbs that I've read often. Not for any other reason than it... this is my, I guess, motivation. Everybody likes motivation, right? This is my don't be lazy motivation. Not saying this is a good thing. I'm not saying I'm using this properly. In Proverbs 24, I pass the field of the lazy one and by the vineyard of a person lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with weeds, overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. And so you see these what seem to be contradictions, and I'm here to tell you that they're not. I'm here to tell you that they're not. What God's saying here and what we've talked about last time I preached, I got the pleasure, or dad dipped on me when it was about lust and divorce. So y'all got to hear me talk about two things that pushed me immensely. But what we keep seeing in this theme that we keep seeing is what you put into your heart, what you think about, what you meditate on is what comes out of you. And what God's talking about here, and Kevin hit on it last week, is if you're worried about what is to come, where is your mind? Who here's a planner? I love planning. I like it. I like to have a direction to go. I like to feel like I've got some semblance of this false control over where my life's going to go. I like to think that, oh, in X amount of years, I'm gonna do this, and I'm going to have this, and all these things. I like to plan. For some people, there's comfort in planning. But for those same people, what happens when something happens to the plan? There goes all the peace and comfort that I had with my plan. Whether it's financially, like we talked about last week, and we get wrapped up in all these things, we get wrapped up in our financial goals, or maybe not even goals. Maybe some of you out there are just wanting to make the next bill. Maybe you're struggling to that level, and what's God saying here is, hey, let it go. Now, how easy is that? That's right. Not easy. That's right. I've got a little copycat over here. Thanks, Bubba. It's not easy to let go. But how many here in whatever experience of life have heard, if y'all are sports fans, you hear it all the time, that in this intense moment, what happens when people just relax? They start making shots. They start catching passes. They just let everything go, and then things start to fall in place. Because when you're so tense and when you're so bundled up, and when that's all you think about is, maybe I can't make the next bill. Maybe I can't reach my next goal. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe I can't do that. What does that create in us? Worry. And so when Christ is saying let it go, he's not just leaving you abandoned and just saying, hey, just let it go. He's saying, let me take care of it. He's saying, take the next step, but realize that while you're taking your next step, who's in charge? Not me. God. We see biblically characters that are going to wrestle and struggle with their plan and God's plan. And whose plan takes over every time? Without fail. God's plan. See, it doesn't matter what Hunter's got for myself in 5 years down the road. It really doesn't. It's important that I'm not stagnant, because stagnancy is not good, but it's also important that I'm comfortable and confident in who's taking care of me. What does that cause us to do if we're not worried about tomorrow? And this is where God, when we talk about everything that we've talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, these are like highlights that God gives us glimpses into the wisdom of why he is commanding us to do these things. What's the wisdom behind this? Is, hey, when I'm not so wrapped up on Hunter's future, when I'm not so wrapped up on my family's well-being, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, I'm just saying, where does my priority lie and my focus locked onto? When I'm not so worried about making sure if something happens to me that my family's taken care of, guess what? If something happens to me, God's going to take care of them. The wisdom behind it is when I stop caring so much and stop focusing everything of who I am into the things I want or these protections or these comforts that come along with finances, with relationship, with whatever the case may be, fill in your blank of what traps you in your space that causes you the most anxiety. I imagine most people nowadays is probably a hint of financial. Everything's so expensive. What am I going to do? Am I going to be able to retire? Am I going to be able... Let it go. Make the next step the right step. Focus on God. When you're focused on God and you're locked into his steps, what starts to matter a whole lot more? The present. If you're focused on something way out there, guess what you miss? You miss loving on somebody right next to you that's going through a very difficult time. You miss taking the step that God's put in front of you and saying, hey, Hunter, be my vessel in this way. And I'm like, I really have to go work 12, 14 hours on XYZ because if I don't do that, then I'm going to be behind on my goals, on my plans. And God's saying, hey, I've got this person here that needs some love. And I know this is also a cliche used a lot right now, but I think it's immensely important. At Blue Haven, we talked about it a lot last year, is being present in the moment. And everybody thinks that's a very hippie thing to say, and all, and that just means, hey, you're going to fly by the seat of your pants and give no cares, and that's not what it is. It's, hey, in this moment, is God calling you to reach out? Has God put somebody on your heart to reach out to that you care about and that you love? And how many times do we get that thought in our heads and we go, nah, I've got a meeting in 15 minutes. I've got this that I need to do. Hey, once I hop off the tractor, then I'll go call them. And then we forget. Hey, this is intentional. God's trying to wake us up. He's saying, I know you have these things to do, and I know that you want comfort, but guess who I am? I'm the God that led his people through the wilderness and provided from the sky every day. I'm the God who took the people through the Red Sea and crushed the Egyptian army right behind them. I'm the God that will take care of you and provide. I'm not saying it's all going to be cush. I'm not saying there's a bunch of comfort that's going to happen. But start focusing on me. Start taking care. See, when this starts to happen and we start to focus on the now, the God that's happening now, the kingdom that's already here, we start loving on people and recognizing opportunities that are happening around us for us to share Him. When you're not too busy at work and you see somebody walk in very struggling, that may not know Christ at all. How many of us take that opportunity to go love on them? To reflect God well? Or how focused are you on that making sure that everything that you said you were going to get done that day gets done? That's me to a T. I get irritated when I don't get my checklist done. I'll just work extra hours. I'll just stay in Farmington. Jaden probably doesn't like that. Are we living here now? Are we taking care of God's kingdom now? Guess what's promised? And we all hear it, and it's another cliche. I know this sermon's full of them. All we're promised is right here, right now. The greater promise is what's to come. Eternity, living with God, in relationship with God. And that's important, yes. And the reason we can be at peace in everything we walk through is because we know that's the promise. And if we're fully convicted of that and we're focused on what God has done for us and we're focused and locked in on God, it's going to make what's going on around here a whole lot more prevalent. It's going to help you notice the people that are hurting around you. My favorite thing that this church has done since we've been here is for Trevor and his family. Guys, that's the kingdom at work. That's God taking care of things through his people. Because at the time, and Trevor stood up here, and we talked about treasures last week, and Trevor said, man, I had a big reflection on what's important to me because I wanted this in a few years. And guess what? Right, well, as soon as I started praying, hey, God, give me some clarity, guess what God does to Trevor? He gets so sick he can't work for a month. Oh, guess what happened? God's people stepped in. God's people acted how they were supposed to act. See, another thing you don't find in this whole verse is the you. Let's read it again. 1 second. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Here's the you. To you. We. Are we doing a good job taking care of the people that are sitting next to us? Are we doing a good job taking care of the person down the street? Are we doing a good job taking care of the community, the people we come into contact with? Are we so focused on what we have to do, accomplish, make, earn, fill in the blank, that we miss doing God's work every day? There's the wisdom behind it. If a hunter's so focused on earning money, guess what? I'm probably going to earn some money. I know people that have gone through their ups and downs, but if I think about people who are just workaholics and their desire is a paycheck, most of them can get it done. On the flip side, it sounds good. If your sole desire is to be parent, father, mother, whatever the case may be, and you don't root that in Christ, it's just as destructive. See, money, we hear money and we think evil. But man, you can fill in that blank with darn near anything. Fatherhood. I love being a dad. But what should my priority in that be? Trace, for now, men of God. So to be a father locked in on Christ, my goal is to raise men of God. To be an employer locked in on Christ is to come into contact with a whole lot of people that are going through the anxieties that this life proves over and over again. And to hope that I can give them a glimpse into the peace that it means to be in Christ. Everybody has their vices, the things that they think they should focus on or they need to focus on or takes up all of their thoughts. I was trying to find this this quote that I read. Oh, I found it. Lucky me. I become what I pay attention to. Kurt Thompson, MD. What you put in is going to come out. You become what you pay attention to. And let me tell you, if you just pay attention to God, to Christ, what we're called to do, what we're called to be, everything around you starts to feel that impact. If you fill that in with anything except for Christ, guess what? Everything around you also feels that impact. The Sermon on the Mount Kevin started with is a higher calling. So high of a calling that probably most of us have skipped over it to some extent or picked parts out that we like and just let everything else go. And I think this is one of those verses that we can do that with. When things are going good, how easy is it to be at peace? Pretty easy. If, man, you run through that week or 2 weeks where you're just knocking everything down and getting it, I mean, you feel like you're cruising. It's pretty easy to be peaceful. When you come home and that one's spitting up and Brooks pooped because he's potty training in his underwear and I have to clean it up, how easy is it to be peaceful? Not so easy, right? After a frustrating day, you get home and there's a turd on the floor. That's not fun. But we're all going to go through our variation of that. Probably a whole lot more often than once. Guys, I hope today we can read this and understand that this is a daily calling. And if that takes meditating on it daily, then do that. It takes all of a few minutes to read that passage and to chew on it and to be patient, to be still. Out of God's wisdom, we're called not to have anxiety. And to everybody, that sounds pretty good. Until you have the rough days. Until you go through the ringer. And then we add our buts. Well, yeah, but if you ever had to clean up after a two-year-old, have you ever had a customer yell at you for an hour? Have you ever? Promise you, he's been through a lot more than we want to go through. The call's not comfort. The call is not saying, the promise isn't that everything's just going to be hunky-dory. The call is not to have anxiety. Why? Because you're so focused on God. Something that doesn't move, something that doesn't change. All of His promises are assured and we can be confident in that. And through that confidence, everything else starts to feel a little less worrying. I hope we take this as we've taken everything before, as a daily calling, a higher calling, one that we're not going to try to punch full of loopholes. And we work on our peace. Not in the easy times, but the difficult times. We remember that God's got it. We remember who's in control, and we're comfortable and confident in that, and we make our next step. Thank y'all for being here this morning. If there's anything we can do for you, I'd ask you to grab somebody, pull them aside as we go ahead and do our invitation song.